go to gatewaymagic.com. Mm-hmm. At the bottom of the page, John talks about how he's closed Gateway Magic and he doesn't think he's going to reopen it because there's a much better product out there. And the link is right there where he says that.
Mm-hmm.
It's something like instant sales letter something or another. Here's what it does. Tom Bell, years and years ago, when he was doing ebooks by the millions, he came up with a system that he calls a gateway page. If you look at todayican.com, that's an example of a gateway page. What it does is it asks for the person's first name, email address, and an answer to a question. So on todayican.com, it's selling a book about getting $10,000 from the U.S. government. And the question it asks is, if you got $10,000 from the U.S. government, what would you do with it? Would you buy a house, buy a boat, pay for your kids' college, pay off your credit card bills? Based on the answer that you give, when you get to the sales letter, everything is customized based on your first name and the answer. If you said buy a boat, you'll see a picture of a new boat that says HSS and your name painted on the back of it. It'll be all about how great life's going to be when you're on your new boat. If you said send your kid to college, it'll show a picture of either a man or a woman standing next to their kid in a graduation cap. And it'll be all about this great feeling you're going to have when you send your kid to college. So
cool.
the way that the copy is written is that there are variables in it. And those variables just pull in the right clause based on the answer to the survey question. So from a copywriter standpoint, they only write one sales letter, but then they have two separate clauses in certain places so that it gears it for one audience versus another.
I see. That's interesting.
That might be the best way to do it if you're talking about something that goes with man and woman, and you can do your survey question one of two ways. You can just say sex, male or female, and have it pull in the appropriate things, or make it even more nichified by asking the right question. You ever heard me talk about something that I call the money flow chart?
No.
Because it's a really important thing for you to understand right now. It works like this. Sales, it is comprised of three separate components.
Okay.
The number of visitors, the targetedness of the visitors, and conversions. If you want to increase your sales, you've got to increase one of those three components. Either the number of visitors, the targetedness of the visitors, or the conversions. But there's a couple of rules that apply in every situation. If you increase merely the number of visitors, because the targetedness of the visitors also goes down when you increase just the number, it causes a decrease in conversions and most often a decrease in sales. On the other hand, when you increase the targetedness of the visitors, although the number of visitors goes down, conversions go up so much it almost always brings in an exponential growth in sales. I have a client by the name of Tom McFadden. He used to be a star on General Hospital. And he wrote a book, designed a coaching program around it, and had this whole profit funnel, all based on the concept that he calls acting for real. And if you go to actingforreal.com, you'll see this sales letter. What he did was, acting for real is about a technique that actors use just to get into the role of their character. And what he was trying to say is that you can use this technique in your real life to get into the character of you. And in doing that, if you're a real estate agent, you'll sell more homes. If you're a lawyer, you'll get more clients and win more cases. If you're trying to date, you'll get more people to date, and your dating will be more successful. By trying to make the sales letter something for everybody, he got 0.1% conversions. So we're talking like 0.0001.
How upsetting.
Yes. And it was simply because of the money formula and the way that it works and the fact that he was trying to get all of these examples into one sales letter so no one audience could really identify with it. What would have been much more successful is the following. Instead of having just acting for real, creating acting for real for the real estate professional, acting for real for the doctor, acting for real for the lawyer, acting for real for the stay-at-home mom, and do it as a series of products. Do it for one audience, whatever one audience you think is the biggest, first. Create all of the systems that you need on the front end to get it out to the world. The back-end products can stay the same. Those don't need to be nichified. You just need the front-end stuff nichified so that you can get people into your profit funnel, get them onto your list, start building a relationship with them. And once you've got them and you're building that relationship, now it's okay to find a way within the system to send them to something more general. Because now it doesn't need to do all of the things like building your credibility and building the relationship all at the same time.
That's excellent advice.
If you can use the whole concept of using something like a gateway page that's part of that, you may be able to do more than one audience at one time just by asking the right survey questions. I used to be the affiliate manager for Gateway Magic when it was out.
Okay.
What our members were finding was that just by adding the right survey questions so that they could customize the sales letter even more, they were finding unbelievable numbers. Sales would go up between 1,000 and 2,000%.
Amazing.
Yeah, huge. But if you think about the fact that what it's letting you do is really target one specific audience, it makes sense that that would work that way. When I'm selling a product that is a digital downloadable product, I don't have a single product that I've put out that is just an ebook. None of them have ever turned out that way. They all started out as just being an ebook, but I don't end up creating them so that they're just ebooks. It's usually a PDF or 3 or 4 or 5 PDFs. It has checklists and flowcharts, and it has some audios, and it might have some PowerPoints, and it might have some video. So they really become courses much more than just an ebook. Here's what I have found. Less than 10% of those who buy my products actually download all the components. And of those who actually do download them, less than 5% actually open them. That's really, really sad because I don't create these just for my health. I create them because they work. And if people could just get through them and use them, they would get results. So when I started doing my 30-day challenge back in April, this was a complete accident. I wasn't testing this. It just happened. The way that I deliver the materials in the challenge is every couple of days, a new piece comes out. And as they get each new piece has the main lesson, it has action steps of this lesson, and then it has resources. Those resources might include some checklists or some flowcharts or some audios, but it's something that makes it easier to implement that lesson.
Okay.
In delivering them over a period of time like that, more than 80% of the people get through at least half of the lessons. Now, I didn't do a real good job in the first one of sending reminders and whatnot that, hey, a new lesson is ready. This is what you're going to learn in it. So on my second challenge, I changed it around and added to what I was sending so that they were getting more follow-up to remind them that the next lesson has become available and that they need to go in and get it. And I gave them two options. For free, they can read it up on the webpage. They can't download it or anything. Just read it in a member's area. And if they upgrade to $14.95, they can also download it in a PDF format. Those that are actually getting through the lessons are not the ones that are paying the $14.95 to download it. Those people are just downloading it and they're leaving it on their hard drives, and about 15-20% are actually opening it. Those that are actually getting through the lessons are the ones that are reading it in the members area. That is this little Excel spreadsheet. How it works is this. At the top of the spreadsheet, it identifies traffic types A through N. A traffic type might be something like, write one article for your blog, post it to your blog, ping the search engines, social bookmark it at 6 bookmarking sites. It will get you, and then it shows you a certain number of visitors. So that's an example of a traffic type. There are A through N of those. Below that, it asks you some questions. You plug in the total dollar amount that you want to bring in. So what's your outcome of this promotion? You then plug in the price of your product, the conversions that you expect to get. It comes back and tells you first how many units you need to sell in order to meet your goals. And then, based on the number of units, how many visitors you need to get in order to reach those goals. At the bottom, it then is a traffic planner. You tell it, okay, I'll do 5 of traffic type A and 3 of traffic type D and 4 of traffic type G. It keeps recalculating, telling you each time how many visitors you've now gotten and how many more you need to meet your goals.
What an excellent tool. That's fabulous.
So go grab a copy of that.
Is that something that all of us can get for free?
It is. It certainly is. What I see most people doing. You're starting with your first steps, and that is, okay, what should I do to put this launch together? That's not where your first step should be. Your first step should be being really, really clear on what your outcome is. And then work your way backwards from there, one step at a time, so that it will evolve into telling you what your first steps should be. I flowchart everything. I use a little tool called DIA. It's open source. It's free. AskGGG.com/DIA. D like diamond, I-A.
Okay.
If I were building a flowchart for a launch, I would start on the right-hand side of the paper with what my outcomes are. And I would then move one piece at a time from right to left until I got to what the first step should be. Because everything changes when you know what your outcome should be. So why are you doing this whole promotion in the first place? What's your outcome?
What advice do you have for women starting out in the business?
For women starting out in the business, my advice is identical to the advice I give to men. And that is really use your business to do two things. Number one, serve, not sell, an audience. And number two, build your business around your passion. If you're going to be out there serving an audience, not selling an audience, it is so important that you're using the things that you love because you're going to be able to talk about them in a bigger way. You'll know the lingo. You'll know what to say. And as the business goes through the rough spots, because every business goes through rough spots, if you're really passionate about that business, it's going to make it easier to keep going when the rough spots happen. When you're really building your business around your passions, it is much easier to develop your core story, or what I call the story of you, that you can use to go out and help you build relationships with your market. There was this great study done by a company called Bridge Ratings a number of years ago. Bridge Ratings is a company that studies media behavior, so TV, radio, newspaper, magazines. They asked 10,000 people, if you were looking for a solution to a problem, who would you be most likely to turn to? Back in 97, when they did the survey for the first time, the answers were religious leaders, teachers, and then family, friends, and acquaintances. Well, back in 97, the internet was just in its infancy. They repeated this study again in August of 2007, and they got very different results. In August 2007, the number one answer was strangers with experience, then family, friends, and acquaintances, and then teachers. Religious leaders had completely dropped off the board. The reason for this shift to strangers with experience is because of the internet. People now look to the internet to find strangers with experience as the go-to people to help them solve their problems. Well, for women just starting out, they want to become that stranger with experience. That means they really want to become an influencer to a very specific audience. And they really want that audience to be based around a topic that they are extremely passionate about. It's easy to use your business to achieve anything you want. You can use your business to leave a legacy in your life. You can use your business to get a message out to the world. You can use your business to help make the world a better place to live. If you really sit down and outline your goals, the things you really want to achieve in your life, you can easily put a business together to achieve all of them. And in the end, your business will help you to live the life of your dreams. But you've got to be very outcome-oriented, so that you know what it is you're going to achieve through this business. The vehicle, you're just using the business as the vehicle for achieving all those things you've always wanted. Even if you're using your business to help make the world a better place to live, you will make money for yourself. And many times, if you're using your business to accomplish these bigger things, these bigger purposes, if you will, you'll end up making even more money in the end than you would just going out and building a business because you heard there was money to be made in one market or another. So really look at your core goals, your core purpose, and your passions and build a business around all of those things.
Do you have people, when you have your coaching program, have to develop their core goals and purpose first?
Oh, I most certainly do. Take the first 2 months, and the first 2 months of my 12-month program are all about that exact topic.
How would someone know if their experience is marketable, though? And I'm also thinking of so many people now getting laid off. How are they supposed to start some kind of a new business? All the internet marketing techniques work fantastic when we already have a business going, but what about the ones who are starting out and trying to just figure out what to do?
It's a two-step process. First, you're going to look internally, and you're going to look at four different elements, and then you're going to go and look externally to see what markets exist today and what people are buying today. I call it the entrepreneurial four-leaf clover. What you want to do is you want to make a series of lists. First, you want to list all of those things that you are competent in. Anything that you think you're pretty good at it. Maybe you know something about knitting or crocheting or gardening or cooking. Any of those things that you are competent in, put on that first list. The second list is all of the skills that you have. And a lot of the competent areas are also going to be on the skills list as well. Then look at all of the resources that you have. These are things like your tools, your knitting needles, your crochet hook, pots and pans, a camera, a video camera, even money can be a resource. Put all of the resources that you have at your disposal on that third list. And your last list is your networking resources. Now, this is bigger than just your contacts. It's the people you know, the organizations you belong to, and all those people that you can reach because of the people you know and the organizations you belong to. So maybe you're involved in Toastmasters. Who are the people you can reach because of that? Maybe you are involved in your local PTA. Who is it that you can reach because of that? And that goes on that third list. Now you go back through all four lists, and you find those items that appear on multiple lists. When you find the one item that is on as many of the lists as possible, that becomes your potentially profitable market or potentially profitable niche. Now you've got to go shift gears a little bit and do the research to confirm that it is a profitable market or niche. And that's where you go out to find out how many people are in this market. Who are they? And what is it that they are already buying? You can look at things like associations that have statistics about the buying habits of people in this market. You can look at tools like quantcast.com to identify the market. So if you know of some sites that are already in that market, look them up on quantcast.com, and it'll tell you both who those people are in terms of demographics, as well as both the keywords that they're also using and the other sites that they're visiting. And it'll give you a pretty good handle on who these people are and what they're buying. I really like the idea of using the statistical data from associations. I had a student come to me a couple years back. She had a site that was a wedding dress site. She had taken a coaching program, and in that program she had learned all about doing keyword research to find hot keywords, and she had learned that wedding dresses were hot. So she went to China. She sourced a whole line of wedding dresses in China and set up this whole website to sell her own line of wedding dresses. She started driving traffic to it, and she was getting about 10,000 visitors a month coming into her site. But she wasn't even able to make $500 a month consistently. So when I first met her, she wanted to come into my coaching program, and she wanted to know if I would help her sell this business because she just couldn't make any money from it. And I said, well, are people buying wedding dresses online? And she said, yeah, you should see the keyword research. It's huge. I said, but are people buying wedding dresses online? She goes, well, of course. You got to see how many searches are being done on wedding dresses. I said, that doesn't tell me that they're buying wedding dresses online. That just tells me that they're searching for wedding dresses online. She said, well, why else would they be searching for it? I said, look, let's go look at the data. So I use ask.com when I'm looking for associations that have statistics about the buying habits of people in a market. So we went to ask.com and we put in wedding association statistic buying habits or something along those lines. But I'm pretty sure it was just wedding association, buying habit statistics. And on the first page of the results, up pops wedding association, bridal association of America.com. Bridal Association of America.com. About halfway down that page on the left-hand side, you'll see a section that's titled Fun Stuff. And the last link in the Fun Stuff area says Wedding Statistics. So you click the link, you go to the next page, and on the next page it's broken down even further, and right at the top you'll see Online Wedding Market. So we go to the online wedding market. When we get there, the statistics are broken down into four columns. The first two columns have to do with how much people are spending online researching various items in the wedding market. The second two columns are all about how much people are spending buying various items in the wedding market. And what we learned was that even if she captured 100% of the wedding dress market online, she'd only be making about $420,000 a year. On the other hand, millions of dollars were being spent online researching wedding dresses. You know, how do you buy the perfect wedding dress? How do you buy the perfect wedding dress if you're tall or fat or short or whatever? When she realized that what people were buying online with regard to wedding dresses was research, she also saw that people were buying wedding accessories like veils and purses on the internet, not necessarily buying research about them. So what I had her do was put together a little ebook. She used a PLR product to do it, all about buying the perfect wedding dress. Within that ebook, she included things like, hey, and of course the wedding dress is all about the whole package. You've got to make sure you've got the right accessories to go with your wedding dress. And she sold veils and purses as an affiliate for somebody else. Of course, she also included stuff about her wedding dresses. In under 90 days with no more visitors, she went from making not even $500 a month to making over $30,000 a month.
She must have loved you. She must have been ecstatic about that.
And no other changes, just that one little thing.
That's fantastic.
So when you go to the second external element in finding your profitable passion, that's where you've got to find those kinds of statistics that are going to help you identify what types of products you're going to sell.
You mentioned the PLR product. How
mm-hmm.
do people go about getting them?
I usually just tell people to Google it and Google private label rights and a topic, whatever is important in your niche. The great thing about info products is this. If you've got anything that you want to sell, I don't care what it is, golf clubs, bathing suits, nutritional supplements, vitamins, anything you want to sell, by leading in with an info product instead of leading off with your product itself, you can use the info product to build the need for your products within your audience. In other words, the info product shows your audience their problem and really gets them to feel the pain associated with their problem. And then it poses a solution of some sort. And in that solution, you go on to tell them that they can get bigger results, better results, or faster results if they've got whatever product you're selling. Even if you're a network marketer, you can use info products to help sell more of the products you sell as a network marketer. And as a network marketer, that's a godsend because you can get affiliates to help you sell your info product, even though you can't get them to help you sell your network marketing products. So now you don't have to do all the work yourself. I usually have my students all lead with info products unless we've got statistical data that tells us that that's a bad way to go. I have yet to see any statistics about online buying behavior that has told me that it was wrong to start with an info product. Every single one I have seen tells me that info products are the better way to lead.
Interesting. That's a great success story, and you just got so much information there for us to learn. When you said
let me give you one more resource, too.
Sure.
In lessons 1 and 2 of my 30-day IM challenge, I go through the whole mindset, goal setting, strategic planning in lesson 1, and in lesson 2, it's all about finding your profitable passion. Those two lessons would really help someone just starting out to really identify the right direction to go in, and it's completely free. You'll find it at www.30dayimchallenge.com. So if anybody really wants some help in getting off to the right foot in a market that you know is going to be profitable from the start, go take a look at the materials in the 30-Day IM Challenge.
Okay, thanks. How come people, internet marketers, tend to give so much for free? Even the things that you've given us are just so valuable.
For me, the system that I teach, as I said a few minutes back, I really have this shift from selling to serving. For my business and the business of any one of my students, what we're focused on is going out and serving our audience to the best of our ability. I don't worry about making sales and selling you something. I worry about building relationships with people. And in building relationships with people, I'll give them free stuff if I think it'll help them. If I don't think it'll help them, I won't tell them about it at all. I won't just turn around and sell it to them instead. Now, what'll happen is, as you're giving stuff to people that is really valuable, my whole 30-day challenge is 18 lessons, more than 750 pages, and it is totally free. As people are coming in and being wowed by all this free stuff, they'll start going, holy cow, if I'm getting all of this for free, I wonder what I'm going to get when I buy something from her. And it will cause them to buy my stuff at even higher rates because they were really wowed by all of the free stuff. The concept that Eben Pagan calls moving the free line, so that you're not just giving away stuff for free that is really not valuable. You're giving away stuff that ordinarily is so valuable you should be selling it. The stuff that's in the 30-Day IM Challenge, I could easily sell for $197 or more. That's how much stuff there is in there. Instead, by giving it away, it causes people to want all of my other products even more. And they buy them like crazy. So that's why you see internet marketers giving stuff away so much. It's a matter of making sure that in the products you're giving away, You can't hold back. You can't have a scarcity mindset. So I can't go through the lessons that I give away for free and say, now, here's the problem. Now, if you want the solution, come over here and buy this. What I've got to do is show them the problem, give them the solution, and then sell them those things that will help them get bigger results, better results, or faster results, or somehow make it less overwhelming to implement the solution.
It's great to give all that stuff for free, but what if I'm a person who just lost my job and I really need to make money quickly? giving for free, this all sounds like a long-term business plan, and it can work well that way. But what if I'm really desperate? And the other side of this is when we see ads and get emails sent to us, it always makes it sound like this comes so fast and that we can make money overnight. Is it true?
It does not come fast. It will take work and it will take time. Can you start making money quickly? Yeah, I can give you some suggestions that can help you start making money quickly. What I teach and what I talk about is not about making money online. It's about building a business online, and they are very different beasts. Building a business online or off takes time. It takes effort. Now, just starting out, especially if you've just lost your job or you're in some sort of desperate situation, you tend to have more of a scarcity mindset because it's like, it's so desperate, I've got to make money right now. You want to resist at all costs trying to sell too hard because of the desperateness of your situation. Although I am telling you that you want to go out and give stuff away, I am not saying that it's going to take you years before you're going to make money from giving stuff away. It might take a few weeks to a couple of months, but in that time, there are some other things you can do to help build your credibility, build your list, drive traffic that will start bringing you results and paying you to do it. When people come into my apprenticeship program, for example, during the first 2 weeks of the program, it's a 12-month-long program, we do a class that I call the Content Creation Club that teaches people how to use sites like AssociatedContent.com or Helium.com to be able to go out, write articles, and use those articles to drive traffic back to a site to build your list. It will build your credibility as an expert. Associated Content and Helium pay you for doing that. You'll make a couple bucks for writing the article in the first place, like $2 to $5, not a lot of money. But they then take your article, put it up on their sites, and allow publishers to put it up on their sites. So you're going to drive some serious traffic if you really work at it a little bit. And they then, on their own site at Associated Content or Helium, will place ads up on your article, and they'll split the advertising dollars with you. They usually split it at anywhere from 50 to 80%. So you get 50% or as much as 80% from some of the sites of the advertising revenues that are generated from your content that you've given them. So although you only make a couple bucks on the front end, those advertising revenues happen forever. And simply by focusing on putting an article out every day or a couple articles out every day, by the end of the first month, my students are making between $500 and $1,000 a month just from that. Now, if you think about what that does for them, now they're establishing themselves as a credible expert, helping to get search engine rankings for the site that they've linked to from any one of those articles. And at the same time, they've got an opt-in box on that site so they can build their list. And now they've got a little bit of breathing room. $500 to $1,000 a month isn't a lot of money, but they can take the first 90 days or so to really put a solid business plan together to make sure that they really know what people are buying and in the process set things up in a way that is going to get the greatest amount of sales and go put that out there so that they can make a little bit of money in the short term building their credibility and now do this the right way to build the business. By the end of that one-year program that I teach, most of my students are at a five-figure per month income. So does it happen quickly? No, it doesn't happen in 30 days. But you can make some money quickly, a couple hundred to $1,000. But by the time you've really put in your dues and done things the right way, Five figures per month is nothing to sneeze at.
No, that's more than many people make in their regular jobs.
Exactly.
And this way they're being able to use a passion or something that they really care about to make the money, and that brings a lot more joy into someone's life.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what is taught within the 30-Day I Am Challenge, that exact thing. All of my sales are made by me, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with having a list. It has to do with knowing what your outcome is and planning your traffic accordingly because of it. Okay, well, you take care, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye, Dina. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.